Hello, everyone, and welcome to Prusa Live, episode 49. We've got Nicholas Sousa and Joseph Prusa with us today.
Yes.
Hello.
I'm Matt Stoltz, and we are excited to have a great show. Hey, we're a little behind right now, so we'll go a little bit long, but
people are joining. It looks like sorry about that. Just
One is still unlisted.
Oh, it's unlisted. Yeah,
when we were testing it, it was still unlisted. Can we change it now?
I'm sure you can.
Yeah, you must.
Do we need to make a third stream? Hopefully not.
So basically, what
I see it, yeah.
What was happening was that the YouTube studio was telling us that the stream condition is excellent.
Yeah, you.
but at the same time, it didn't show the video and it didn't let Mickey to press the go live.
Yeah, so it's like I'm getting all the data, but please send me some data or you cannot go live. And we were like, okay, well, that's really strange. So for some reason, when we created a new stream, it's working just fine. So it's something in YouTube. We don't know what it is, but hopefully
we got there in the end. Yeah. That's the important bit, right?
Should be public now. Everything should be working.
Yeah, it is now there.
Okay, yeah, they're saying it's listed now.
So if someone is still in the old chat, please let people know
to go
to the new one. Because I still see some people over there, I think, but...
Yeah,
I don't want to touch anything around here.
Yeah.
All right. So let's go ahead and kick the show off with our printables picks of the week. Joe, what do you have this week?
Yeah. So I have this beautiful box for hiding stuff.
Nice.
What do you put in it? Some like pills or something?
A little portable medication bottle.
Chewing guns.
Mm.
Something like that. Yeah. But it's actually a quite quick print.
Did you discover it by it being featured on printables?
Yes, I did.
Ah, I thought so.
Yes, I did. What I would like to do, maybe to have like this should be quite easy to put an O-ring on it.
Oh, make it seal.
Yeah. I think I'm not sure if this will like seal.
I think it could.
It would be better than nothing, right? Like it's that watertight print issue of whether or not water would get in through.
But I mean, does it get your seal of approval?
If I could make the sound that the seal makes, then.
Isn't this picture updated? Because when I was printing it on the weekend, I think it wasn't that nice.
It's really nice. Also, I like that Citan. Titan, I know, use the note feature to say what's the difference between all these different files. That's nice. Not that many people use it.
Mm-hmm.
Really great.
Nice. Yeah.
All right. What do you have, Mickey?
I have one of the models from the Brands Corporation. It's Henry or Jindřich, as we Czechs would say. And yeah, that's the like historic protagonist of the Kingdom Come Deliverance game, and David painted it for me.
Oh, so you didn't paint it?
No, okay. I'm not.
And I see even the static grass.
Yeah, the grass and everything. It's really nice. I actually got to stop by in their office recently due to the collaboration, and I brought some prints for them. So. I hope if anyone from their office is watching, I hope you like them.
Are they still in Karlin?
Yes, like just across the bridge from here.
Okay.
It's really nice office, and I love the game Kingdom Come Deliverance.
Yeah, did you get past the tutorial?
yeah, but it's really difficult.
It is.
So that's mine. Yeah, if you just go to Printables Brands and Warhorse Studios, you will find it really easily. So it's by the Warhorse Studios.
Well, that's great.
Matt, what do you have?
I printed something that I kind of needed. I got a really great little gadget that I'll show you here in a second that some of us were talking about on Twitter. But this is a nice little case for it. So this is a case for a Nyx color sensor. So little pocketable device. It's Bluetooth, but you can put it up against any any object and it will tell you what color it is.
Yeah, I know.
So it'll give you not only RGB and hex values, but it will also match paint colors from your kind of local paint brands. Yeah. So you can even select like European paint brand. And if you say, you know, I really love Prusament little dust there. Prusament royal blue, and you want to know what color that is to paint your walls to match your prints.
Hmm.
You just put the Nyx up against it and get the color and go out and buy your paint.
How does it fare with the different effects? Like the royal blue is like shiny, so if it has like a reflection in there.
Yeah, so with some of the shiny things, I have found it to be a little off. I just got it, so I need to spend a little bit of time with it, but I have found that matter things, you know, work a little bit better.
Yeah, we spent a lot of time when we developed the color measuring for the Prusament lines, so we have the Delta E, because the filament is oval and it's glossy, shiny, wet from water. It's
but what is nice for us, because we are just looking for consistency.
Yeah, that's true.
It is not calibrated that it gives you the same RAL number.
Yeah, yeah.
So when we set up the production, we get a sample what we want, and then we just check it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
But yeah, nice little case so that it stays protected in my pocket, and I can take it with me everywhere and. Snap colors.
Nice.
All right. We've got some news. We've got all kinds of news going on. So in our contest update, the holiday winners are out. They are announced. We are super excited for everyone that entered. Yes, Catch All Trays is our latest and greatest flash contest. So that ends in 4 days, and a new one will launch on Friday. So get your entries in and stay tuned for what's next.
I guess one thing I would like to say to this topic is that we've been seeing the like wrong submissions to contests, and it's really annoying. So me, Matt, and everyone from the moderation team of Printables is like, we're going through the submissions, and when we see something that's doesn't fit, we delete it. Like,
yeah, we're gonna definitely start doubling down on doing that, but
and at some point to really discourage it, maybe to have some a little of the negative present, because I think what people are doing it for is it is like free advertising, because it's like another feature to when people are checking the
we're gonna do some like pop-up like look, you're submitting a model into a contest, are you sure, like here are this is the team. And I would like to not do any like big penalizations, but if it comes to it, then we might even do those. I don't know, but I just wanted to bring up the issue that we are monitoring it, we are discussing it internally, and we will figure it out somehow.
Yeah, I would not mind a penalization for repeat offenders, shall we say.
Repeated offenders, for example, that would be fine. I just don't want to slap people too hard. And they're just new on the site, and they're not really sure what they're doing.
Yeah, absolutely. But that isn't to go without saying that we do appreciate all the wonderful valid models that all of you guys are submitting. And so,
by cleaning these, which are not supposed to be there, we are evaluating the
submissions exactly.
Yeah,
because people are pouring a lot of time into designing these.
Yes, which is. Much appreciated.
Absolutely. Hey Joe, you just released a video, didn't you?
I did. Have you seen it?
I have.
So we have an Excel update out. It is on YouTube. Is the article also out?
Yes, it is. It's the article is basically the summary of the video. We will be expanding the article with like frequent questions if there's anything unclear.
Yes, please, if you can take a look, and if you have still some questions after that, let us know either in the YouTube comments or here or some other way, so we can answer them. And we want to do that before, you know, we post it on socials ourselves tomorrow.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess one thing that was brought up and we didn't like really put it there, and we weren't sure if it's necessary, but the emails that we're going to be sending, we're not going to send like, I don't know, 10,000 emails like at once. It's going to be like batches. Like, we expect that, you know, it might be time for your order soon, so we will let you know in advance. But it will not be all at once. It will be like in reasonably big batches.
Yes. So we can predict.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. And yeah, otherwise, everything should be in the video. So rather than making it even more confusing than saying it differently here, I guess just ideally watch the video if you're interested.
Okay.
Yeah, lots of updates. Mickey, what's that over your shoulder there that looks a nice white print?
It's really white. It's really white. Like the printable shirt, this is like really white, but this is like for a film.
Really white.
Really, really, really white. Yeah. So this is coming out maybe even tomorrow, but anyway, really soon. It's PLA.
Like, oh, you still have like prototype spool here.
Yeah, yeah. No, exactly. So Might seem like nothing, but oh my god, white. Like normal white. It's like really difficult to make white.
Yeah, and it doesn't do as much as you might know when other brands put a lot of like titanium oxide or anything like that. It acts a little bit like non-Newtonian fluid, and it's just like,
and it's know. Sometimes it's abrasive, the additives and whatnot. So yeah, we have white PLA that should print like totally fine with the stock PLA profile.
Yeah, this, I'm thinking about making lampshade out of it.
Yeah, it's what I say.
How translucent it is. Have you tried that?
If the wall will be thin enough, then it will be a little bit. Not much.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
We can see it here.
Yeah, yeah.
You probably can't.
But anyway, that's coming very soon. So we have the vanilla white, which is like vanilla. It's a bit creamy. Then we have the pearl white, which is pearl. It's shiny.
Pearl.
It's pearl. Yeah, it's one of the blends. And this will be pristine white. And this is like... no extra additives, like no gloss, no nothing weird about it optically, just really white. So that's it.
Nice. That's fantastic.
Yeah. Put it there. Okay.
Yeah, I need to make some filament requests for some things, and I think I'd love to get a hold of some of that.
Yeah.
Okay. New firmware for the Mark III. So we released 3.121 a little bit ago, but we've run into, you know, a kind of an interesting situation. Do you want to explain that a little bit better, Mickey?
Yeah, I would love to. So we have the thermal model protection in there. I'm just opening it up on GitHub. Yes. So it's like an extra protection on top of what we always had in our printers, and it's really nice because, you know, it's like doing like analysis of what power is going into the heaters and how are they behaving, and it can catch that something is wrong like even way before you reach high temperature. So you don't even reach any temperature that would be dangerous, and it already cuts the heating.
Yeah, I mean, it is so sensitive, it can catch the edge cases so well that basically we found out in the testing that we can catch the blobs of death. Because when it starts to pile up even a little bit on the nozzle, it sees that the heat dissipation is not as large.
And it works. It should work on, you know, you can change the hot end on your Prusa, and you can have different heaters and whatnot. We don't know all the configurations out there, and it should work on basically, okay, I'm gonna say almost all of them. The exception is that, like, for example, the Revo is using ceramic heater, and that it has like, I don't say like a weird response. Like the hotter it gets, the less it heats.
Yeah. The resistance gets way higher, so
and
it's
so
less.
The model, it cannot learn it yet. It's not used to it.
We don't have enough data to have trained the models yet.
Yeah. So if you have the Revo specifically, the thermal model will scream at you when you won't pass the calibration. So it's all explained in here. So if you have the Revo, you can either disable it through a G-code command that's described in the release notes, or if you would be so nice, if you run the calibration and you would send us the logs, which is described also in the release notes, then you will help us to teach the model how to handle the Revos, which we would really appreciate.
And what is the preferred way that they submit those logs, Mickey?
There's a GitHub issue where you can put it.
It's linked here. That's full of logs from the Revo. It's all linked in the release notes. So
yeah,
if you have the Revo, this will happen, thermal anomaly. So
right,
if you would like to help us, we would appreciate it. If you really want to use the printer and don't have time for this, either continue using the old version for now, or optionally you can turn it off. But we do not recommend turning it.
Yeah, and now I would like to do a plea to everyone because I saw quite a few people where they had thermal anomaly, or it didn't go all the way through, and you know then people just flash all their firmware, and say hey, problem solved, but it is not from what we've seen in the support. We found out that most of these are like printer. Some part is like near the end of the life, being broken from the constant printing, or something like that. So it makes sense to investigate when you have the thermal anomaly and not just flash all the firmware.
Yeah.
Please.
Yeah.
And if you see someone, if you can relay this message.
Exactly. So if you have stock, especially if you have stock Mark III and you get the thermal anomaly. Even if the printer seems to be working fine, something is not okay, and you should even investigate it before it gets worse.
It's like the solution to a beeping smoke detector isn't to take the battery out.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that is a good analogy.
That's exactly it.
I think Mikolas, I think this is the way we need to do a meme.
Yes,
you just don't tape the smoke detector,
right? Yeah.
Use the thermal anomaly protection.
Yeah. Right.
But it is a great point too that that is actually functioning as another thing, right? It's kind of giving you a heads up of hey, there's something going wrong with your printer. Go ahead and investigate it now and fix it before your printer, not just before there's a major, catastrophic problem, but before your printer's down and you're not able to use it because, now you're waiting to get a replacement part, while it's not functioning. So,
Indeed.
Take advantage of it. Okay. We have been showing over the past couple, episodes, some highlights of Prusa Slicer 2.6. And everybody's been asking, when's it coming out? When's it coming out? When's it coming out? We were really hoping to get it out to you all, at the end of the year. The dev team all got COVID.
it wasn't COVID. It was just sick.
There are some COVIDs, but throughout the whole company, we had a big wave of respiratory diseases here in Central Europe. Unfortunately, but we have some other stuff to show you from the new release. Mickey, are you ready for the show?
Yeah, I'm gonna show. I think we've more or less shown everything.
Really?
Yeah, I think so. But so I guess while I'm showing that, when do you think the 2.6 will be released? Like maybe as soon as
Friday.
Our typical answer, Friday. But yeah, no,
Friday.
Or for real, it could be as soon as this week, which we are really looking forward to.
Right.
Yeah, so I think I've teased it definitely somewhere, but the cut tool used to be just move the thing up and down, but now you can even like rotate it freely, but my favorite is just to hold the shift key and draw draw the line, which is great.
That's great.
A plane, you know, perpendicular to that view. And that's really, really easy way to cut at exactly the angle you want. And then you can click add or edit connectors. And you can even add some lining pins. And you can even change the tolerance of those. Oh, there's some extra thing, size. Oh yeah, here's the tolerance and the shape. And yeah, there are even like two different styles. The really nice thing is that, yeah, directly in Prusa Slicer, you can create these lining pins so that it's then easy to put the thing together.
Nice.
It's amazing.
That's fantastic.
Yes. I mean, that's the cut tool everyone wanted for forever.
Yeah. Oh, interesting, yeah. So these are the different connector styles. Yeah.
But the lower part, you shouldn't have it flipped.
Yeah. So that's one thing. We also teased the text tool, which I think will be a complete game changer.
I would say is the proper way to do text.
Yeah. So we since we last shown it, we've reworked the UI because before it was like the functioning prototype. It was usable, but not very user friendly. And some small things changed. For example, there's now this this white cursor. If you see it. And that's showing where the tangent to the surface is being calculated. So if you want to position your text on like an edge of something, you don't have to move your mouse and like, you know, wait for a moment where it changes the angle. You can just watch this cursor. And yeah, the UI is now much nicer. The like whether the text is being added, subtracted, or used as a modifier. And yeah, you can still make it. Just follow the curved surface. So that's the text tool.
Everyone who does CAD can vouch how annoying it is to do this in any freaking CAD.
Right. Mickey and I were just having a conversation about, you know, even over the course of the time that's been going on, how much better the UI on this tool has.
Yeah. And you have these presets which you can create at the bottom. So, you know, when you select the font and the height and the depth and everything, you can save it as a preset. So if you're like doing the same text on different models over and over again, you can just save it and then recall it later on, which I think is really nice.
Yeah, you can. I'm looking at the questions. You can use any font you have in your system.
Yeah.
RTF font though.
TTF. Yeah.
Oh, it's TTF. Okay.
Yeah.
So any symbols, you can use it for a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So you can do like the shape fonts, do like weird any fonts for sort of situation. So yeah, this opens up a lot of options. And also I'm looking forward to like the modifier option, because like the one obvious thing that came to my mind was using the fuzzy skin.
Yes.
With the text modifier. But I think you can do like no infill, no perimeters, and just infill.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you guys will come up with so many other things to use it for. So yeah, looking forward to that, and hopefully coming out, yeah, maybe even this week. Oh wow! Yeah.
I'm super excited about, and you know,
pre-alpha.
Alpha. Yeah. You know, I'm excited about the measure tool too. I know that that's not quite as sexy, but like. I just used it on a project I was working on where I wanted to do a color swap and wanted to have an idea of where different features inside the model were to set the color swap up in certain ways, and just being able to like, you know, measure that out and then divide things so that I got more even swaps was really nice.
The craziest thing about the measure tool for me is the like diameter and detecting circular shapes out of triangles. Like if you look at the shape representation in the like text file in like STL or something, that's a mess. Yeah. It's complete mess. How do you detect a circle out of that? That's really impressive for me.
It is. It's very great.
And there are like tons of other things. I don't know, from the top of your head, maybe the like overhangs of
Oh yeah, yeah.
Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, sure.
We have we've seen some attempts at it, but also our VTX team all did it the proper way. So you can set the speeds for the overhangs, and it really, really, really nicely helps with printing them for different angles. You can do it quite granularly. And I think I don't have the changelog in my head, but I think you also go around the where it's possibility to lift. The nozzle just goes around it.
Oh, okay.
If you are doing like speed moves.
Oh, okay, cool. So
you don't catch the
ball. Yeah, that's really nice. And I mean,
a Z hop kind of thing.
It's smart. I mean, it just goes around because you don't know how much it lifts. But right. You know, it's different when you go from inside the model and you are doing the perimeter slowly.
Yeah.
And we are just glossing over the thing that we already talked about a lot, but I guess arguably the biggest feature of Prusa Slicer 2.6 are organic supports.
Organic support.
Yeah. Yeah. I have seen something that Kyura is not going to put them in the final.
Yeah.
The updated one.
So they also reworked their supports based on the same code as we started with like a year ago or something.
Yeah, yeah.
The excellent work of Thomas Ram. By the way, shout out. You're a legend. Thanks for working on that. So I think they released it in like an alpha, but they said that they'll get back to it later and they will just release the current version as is.
I was recently, shall we say, interacting with a large model that had a bunch of organic supports on it, and it was very nice being able to remove those. It was great.
Someone is asking, Wayne, how stable is the Alpha Guys? I've been using it for months, honestly, and it's really quite stable. I would say usable even in like production environment.
Yeah. I would say don't uninstall your plane slicer just in case.
Yeah, never. I mean, the thing is, when you're downloading from GitHub, you really don't have to touch your stable version, and you just unpack somewhere, and you run it. I always have like 10 Prusa slicers open at a time.
Yeah, yeah. Very rarely you have like unfunctional print from it. It might crash when you do something, or it might be slow without optimization.
Yeah.
But you know, but basically everyone at the company is running the alpha.
Yeah.
Early builds,
but. Right. I would say just save the free maps anyway, just save the project. That's what I usually do when it's like getting a bit slow or really challenging for the PC. Just save it. It will be useful anyway, and if it crashes, then you can just open the free map and continue from there.
Mickey, I see a question in the chat. I wish there was an entire college course on Prusa Slicer.
Yeah.
It's getting to the point where we need it, don't we?
Someone was working on a Prusa Slicer.
Was, but then someone got really busy, and then at the same time, we started like working on changing the UI, improving it.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, work on the course and make screenshots from Slicer, and at the same time work on changing the UI, so you know you will have to rework everything. But eventually,
so maybe not a university course, but maybe a Prusa Academy course, right?
That's exactly it.
All right. So we have a great guest with us this week. Super excited to have him. So we have Ben Peterson from NAFS. I'm going to go ahead and bring Ben in. And Ben is relatively new to the 3D printing world, but he decided to. Use 3D printing in the launch of his new product. So I have to say, what is up, Ben?
I love it, Matt.
I've been dying to say that for weeks now. So for those of you that don't know Ben and his YouTube career with Blade HQ previously and other places, he has a little bit of a catchphrase.
You did it well, Matt. Well done. I'm
impressed. Not quite the gusto, but you know, I tried.
You nailed it.
Ben, thank you for joining us. Why don't you explain a little bit about what NAFS is and a little bit about the lander?
Yeah, for sure. So NAFS is a knife company. We make pocket knives, and we make pocket knife accessories. And so for the last couple of years, I've been designing products for other people. And we just came out this year with my very first in-house design for NAFS. So it's my design under my umbrella rather than designing for somebody else. And the part about this knife that I really like, I kind of sat on it for about a year, just kind of thinking like, what should this thing be? And what we ended up doing was you remove these four screws. I won't do it in real time here, but you remove those four screws and then the scales come off. So normally when you're disassembling a pocket knife, if you want to change the front scales, basically change the paint job on the knife, you have to disassemble all the parts. And so like you'll have the entire pivot of the knife. So this functionality, everything falls apart in your hand. So it's almost like changing the rims of your tires on your wheels without having to realign everything. So that's kind of the nice part. And then the thing that I wanted to do with it, I'm like, well, people are doing this anyway. There's a ton of people reverse engineering scales within the pocket knife industry. I said, well, why not just release the CAD file and let people go hog wild? And so part of that too, as I was doing this, I kind of got into the 3D printing world and landed on Prusa, and it's just been really fun for me. I'm not a not like a hardcore enthusiast or anything. I'm a total like print prototypes, print a set of scales here and there. But I love it. It's customizability at your fingertips, which is super fun to me.
Yeah, this intrigues me so much. Just having a CAD file, like a company releasing a product and releasing also a CAD file that I can print and customize. And I mean, even if I don't end up using it, it's just so nice to have to like customize it and then switch it back to like some nicer version made in a different technique. But it's just so nice.
Yeah, and you can work with on other things. I would say maybe a holder if you want to work on the knife if you have not such a great mobility. So you know, so this kind of stuff.
Yeah,
absolutely. And it was exciting for me because again, I've followed some of the work that you've done through the years and things, and you know, all of a sudden I see the Lander Kickstarter and there's a Prusa in the video and I'm like, oh, all right.
The funny part about that, like I didn't go out and be like, I need a specific 3D printer. I've got a buddy, TJ Swartz, who did all of my printing for me. So for a while I would send my CAD file up to Idaho and he would print it and send it back. And it was just a real pain in the butt. And he's like, dude, just buy your own printer. And I'm what do I buy? And he's like, you buy a Prusa because you can reprint your parts. He basically like turned me on to this idea of things being open source. And so I would say in some ways I have you guys to credit for this mentality of like, make it open source, make it Creative Commons and let people do their thing with it. Because like the reality is like, I'm going to sell more pocket knives when people can make their own scales, right? When they can do their own thing. So that's kind of where the idea came from. So I appreciate you guys for kind of pushing that idea. I think open source, right to repair, modularity, all of that, part of that came from your company and me like assembling my printer and realizing like, oh, there's a world here that is that thinks about commerce a little bit differently. Like, yeah, we're all gonna make some money and do our thing, but at the same time, it doesn't have to be a closed system. And, and that's the part that I like about it.
And not only does it not have to be a closed system, it's that benefit that you get of having this community that you know wants to be able to change things around, and now you engage with them.
Yeah.
How long does the knife last? I mean, the knife itself, and then how often do you change the outside?
Yeah, for me, I haven't had to change it at all. Like, and I wouldn't say I've carried things for months. The problem, you get into this, and the problem is you go from PLA, and then you get into like a fancy micarta material. This is what's called a G-carta. It's a layered linen micarta.
Uh-huh.
So the problem is you start customizing, and then before you know it, you've got like literally 100 sets of scales. It's a slippery slope. So.
Right.
Joseph, I don't know, to answer your question, I don't know how long it lasts.
One of the benefits about the Lander and the way that the scales come off of it is it really doesn't affect the way that the rest of the knife performs. And yeah. So the longevity of your scales really has to do with the material that you're using and things. But, you know, the knife itself, there's no reason why you shouldn't be handing that pocket knife down to your grandkid, you know, in the future, just like, you know, any other pocket knife. And to not toot Ben's horn, there's really good materials being used in it. It's a D2 blade, which is a really, you know, kind of, you know, not the highest end blade steel, but something that's considered, you know, a fan favorite, shall we say. So yeah, it's a great little blade. I have to say, you know, when all of this kind of came up, I ended up picking myself up one. I am a pocket knife carrier. I carry a specific blade pretty much every day for the past month. This is the first knife that has taken that knife out of my pocket and 4 years, I think. And so
I think we can see where this is going.
Yeah, Ben knows what knife it is, but anyway, so I had to I had to make my own scales. So I have a nice color change Prusa scale there. So this is you know Pet G with a color swap, and then on the back side I bottom layers with you know exposed infill, which gives just a great textured grip to it.
I think so. It's
awesome.
Really nice.
So the Lander has been in my pocket for a month, and it's fantastic.
What we should make there's a traditional Czech little pocket knife which is called
Rybička.
It's like little fish, and it looks like little fish. Maybe you have it too in the States.
No, I have been wanting to buy one every time I've come over to Prague.
It looks like a sardine,
but it's tiny.
I've been able to find one, and so I've got this thing that I want to start collecting pocket knives from everywhere, like other countries that I go to. And that was the one that I found for the Czech Republic, but I couldn't find anywhere to get one.
At least when we were little, like every little kid had one, you know.
Yeah.
But I guess it was a different time, like little kids running with knives you can't do much with it. But I don't think that happens too much, especially in city nowadays.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely not.
And we were, father told us like to do whistles and all the stuff.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it sounds to me like, you know, we've got some ideas for some scales, but I'm guessing that the audience out there has some ideas for some scales. So why don't we just do a contest with NAFS and get a printables contest for some knife scales going?
Actually, that's what I wanted to say, is that another benefit of like releasing the files, letting people do something with it, is that, I mean, we definitely know that also, is that sometimes people come up with stuff that you didn't think of.
Right.
And you might end up like adopting the idea, and I mean, you're in a way making your product better. I don't want to say for free, but you know, people go and help, which is awesome.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that might actually, if we do a contest, that might happen. It would be nice to see.
I would also do a spork one. You know, if you don't want to give your kids knives, you can give them spork and they can modify it.
Keep an eye out for that, guys. We'll make something happen here soon.
We'll throw some swag prizes in there too. We make a few maintenance tools and things like that are kind of fun. So we'll throw some goodies in.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
There's always this thing that I write like a bunch of questions, and then I get the guests that like kind of answer all of those questions as we go. I'm trying to figure out if where all I wanted to go with things here. I think we've covered it a little bit, but you know, what was your thought process when you decided, you know what, I'm just gonna go ahead and toss this out there. I'm gonna open this up. I'm going to, you know, put these scales out in the world, because you know, so many companies want to keep everything so close to their chest of, you know, oh, you know, if I release my knife scales and somebody else is gonna make, you know, a knife and just use my scales and it's gonna cut down the R&D time or whatever. But like, what made you kind of go past that?
So I think it kind of comes in the knife industry. A lot of companies will void your warranty on your pocket knife if you disassemble it. So it's just, that's kind of been the culture. And if you wanted, like, if you need a new screw, like a lot of times screws will come out of the pocket knife and you'll lose a screw. A lot of times they would make you send in your entire knife to get that new screw. And as I've worked in this industry for the past 10 years, I'm like, that just doesn't make any sense. Like, why wouldn't you just make the screws available, make the warranty so that people can maintain their stuff? It didn't make any sense to me. And I'm like, well, let's start at the top. Like, number one, maintain your tool. So on our site, we sell all of the screws to be able to repair your knife. We sell rebuild kits, all of that. And my whole thought process is like, let's make it user serviceable. Like, I don't want your knife back. I want you to fix it yourself, right? I want to teach you how to fish. And so to me, originally the Lander was just going to have that ecosystem. But then as I got into realizing like, oh, what if we put this certain type of removable scale on it? Dang, that opens up this entire world of customization even more. And in this industry, like a lot of people aren't, I wouldn't say that 3D printing is the most common thing for scales themselves. A lot of us are using it for prototyping and things like that. But just there are a lot of hobbyists, like there are a lot of tinkerers who like to just build things and make things. And so I looked at it and I said, well, shoot, if we put this mechanism on there, people could do whatever they wanted. And a lot of manufacturers, a lot of aftermarket manufacturers, they're already going and reverse engineering knife scales. And it's like, why not just give that to them? And then you kind of are starting in a very literal sense, you're doing razors and razor blades, right? Like, I'm going to sell you the razor and somebody else is going to sell you the razor blade. And it doesn't matter to me because I get to see all these cool things. Like, I think just this whole mentality, like there's this guy who makes these micarta scales. Let me see if I can get that to focus a little bit. He just puts like a checkered pattern on them. Mm-hmm. Now these aren't printed, but he's going to start by taking that CAD file and 3D printing whatever he wants on there to get the feeling right. And then he's going to go and mass produce these. But I've seen people putting like dragon, they'll put like a dragon surface layer on top of their knife handles. I've seen people just printing them and in sparkly PLA. I'll be at shows and people will just walk up to me and hand me a set of scales for the Lander that they printed. They're like, check out this PLA. And I'm like, cool, filament, you know? Like,
yeah.
But I think just this idea that like, when you own something, you should own it end to end. And I think as more creators of goods think about their products like that, the world just becomes a better place. And I think that's the thing I love about Prusa is it's like, here is how you use your machine. Here are resources. Here is filament. Like you've created an ecosystem that's an open ecosystem. And that kind of plays into my whole mentality with this thing is make it open and make it available to anybody who wants to be a part of it.
Yeah.
It's really refreshing hearing, you know, a brand say that because, you know, we're, that the whole discussion about right to repair has come up. You know, I've already seen people, you know, kind of joking about John Deere and, you know, the situation with the tractors and everything else in the chat. And you know, this is definitely something that we were embracing when we launched the brand section here.
Really, really pushing this initiative because exactly what you said, just, we hope that this will be a norm in the future that, you know, you release a product and together all the plastic parts, all the little doohads, like nothing that will eat out into the sales. Actually, it will. It can boost the sales of the product.
Yeah, but it is sometimes stupid, you know, for the warranties where they stop making the products, they have to keep giant warehouses of stuff.
Yeah, replacement parts.
So we also, everything starts to go into the same, into one thing with our AFS. We can have like centers for printing it out if they really did want users to print it out. But
also, I think the right to repair has an exception that if you are open source, you don't have to have the parts in stock for the 10 years. If you release all the documentation, I think you are accepted from that because other manufacturers or the community can can pick up and they can still repair the thing. You are not blocking it. You are like making it easier to repair.
Yeah. And also, you know, if you own companies and you are doing the things the proper way, just the amount of stuff you pay for the recycling of the packaging material you put into the system. I mean, you pay for every single envelope, everything. Yeah. So if people can just print it at home, it's wonderful. Also, if some companies are telling you that, oh, we are green, we want to save the planet or whatever, we are trying to limit our carbon footprint, they should do exactly this. They should provide the most common things for customers to.
Yeah, totally.
That's my whole thought process. I appreciate, like I said, I appreciate you guys championing that. I think as I assembled my printer, I was like, wait a minute, like, this is, there's a concept here that I can adopt in the pocket knife industry.
Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, the majority of us in the company, it's more than just a, you know, a sales benefit. It's again, it's a side of like, this should be the way that everything works, right? Not just so we can sell more printers, but just so that, you know, we're creating less waste. We're all truly owning the things that we purchase.
It tingles a special part in my brain when I can customize something. I don't know why, right. But it just does.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I will say, like, there's already other plans for more scales, like the other materials that have been purchased. And
now with the text tool coming out.
Right. And that's and the text tool is how I put the text on this was using that. And again, I was talking earlier about, you know, deciding, it's kind of hard to see with my camera set up, but deciding how thick some of the spacing was so that I could get the color swaps to have, you know, nice side profiles there, and use the measure tool for that. So lots of things coming out that makes a lot of this really easy to do the customizations on. So and Ben, you've released not just a like the base CAD file, which is I assume what you're using for CNCing scales and things like that. You do have a modified version that is specific for 3D printing also.
Yeah, so I have a buddy that does a whole bunch of work in carbon fiber. And his name's Travis from Unlock Composites, and he's a wizard with reverse engineering. So we took the original file, we looked at what was actually manufactured coming from overseas, and he actually did a laser scan of everything and rebuilt the file from what was manufactured. And so the way he explained it to me, and I'm not an expert in this, right? Like, I'm a marketing guy at heart. I'm like, cool, here's an interesting idea. Here's a thing that we can do. But Travis dug in and he's like, look, if you distribute this actual laser scan file, it's not going to work very well for printing because of filament shrinkage and all of that. Just it's not as precise as a CNC machine. And so he's like, let's just loosen up the tolerance just a little bit and then we'll release that file too. So that was his idea, because I'm a novice at this stuff. It's like, I can see that it's not working perfectly, but how do you go and adjust it? So yeah, there is a 3D, there's an STL file for 3D printing specifically with just a little bit more play in it. Because that was one thing we found as we used different filaments. It was like, oh, this shrinks ever so slightly. And when the tolerances on the knives are pretty precise, and so getting that to fit on there just right can be a bit of a challenge. So I was finding myself with like a file and like sanding things away to try to get it in there. So we just said, look, let's make that file just a hair bigger for the printing community. So
yeah. Well, came out great.
I would say heat it up and then push it the scale on. But I know, but you can't heat the blade, right? Because I know what happens when someone in my household puts knives into a dishwasher.
That's like that old YouTube series. Did you ever see that YouTube series where they heat up the knife like to a million degrees and then they cut through things?
No. No, that sounds like fun.
Highly entertaining, but if you want to ruin your knife, heat it up. That's a good way to do it.
Really? I wasn't aware if you heat up a knife.
Even the dishwasher.
You ruin the temper on the blade.
Yeah, so right. knives are heat treated to get them to basically usability. So if you stick it in a torch or anything, it's going to
internal stress releases and it warps and it makes sense.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Well, Ben, that was fantastic. We really appreciate you coming on and showing us what you're working on.
Absolutely. Thanks for the opportunity. I appreciate it. I have to end with this. Joseph, it's good to meet you virtually. As I'm assembling my printer, you're always like winking at me, and I'm like, a real person.
But would you believe that, you know, it is not on my orders? I don't say people where to put.
Yeah, we just put his face there when we feel like it, and
they just, you know, they just make fun of me this way.
Yeah.
No, I think it's hilarious. It's fun. I love the culture around what you guys have done. So thank you for letting me be part of it, and thanks for having me on, guys. I really appreciate it.
Yeah. We look forward to what you have coming next, and hope that you continue this trend of open sourcing, you know, parts of your blade.
I think you should come to some of the 3D printing shows in the States.
Yeah.
I was trying to convince him to come to Rocky Mountain Rep Rap Fest, which isn't all that far from him in Colorado, but I know.
Guys, I'd be like a lost puppy. I'd be like, wow, it's so cool. What is it?
You know? We'll take you around.
No, we need to
go to knife conventions.
Oh, it'll be fun.
I put Blade Show on our potential list, and so yeah.
Come on over. There's some guys from the Czech Republic doing amazing things.
Really?
A company called Acta Non Verba. They're right there. I think they're in Prague, so they do really cool stuff.
We need to find it.
Some of the best chisels in the world are a Czech brand, and so there's definitely people making really great, you know, steels and blades there. Yeah. So,
I love it though. Fantastic. Thank you guys. I appreciate the opportunity.
Right. Yeah, thanks, Ben.
Thank you, Ben. We will see you in the future.
Awesome. Thanks.
Bye.
All right. That was great.
What a cool dude.
Yeah, cool dude, and also like. Great a streaming setup, I have to say. Like, I really appreciate it, like really nice video and studio and everything.
Right. Yeah. Which actually reminds me, I meant to ask him how much arm hair he has left, because he released a video yesterday, because he records his own videos too, and he released a video yesterday where he was talking about shaving, getting his knife sharp enough to shave all the hair off his arm. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mickey, we should upgrade our setup a little bit.
Yeah,
it is kind of tight.
I was kind of hoping for new HQ soon, but I think that's gonna take some time. But when it happens, I imagine like a nice view.
Yeah. We
just start streaming. Go over to Joe's house and start streaming from his loft.
We can. Well, I mean, you know, Bara knows you.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure she watches the stream, at least the beginnings. But she goes to sleep quite soon usually. But
I'm sure we can figure something out. Maybe
I will let you know tomorrow what she thinks.
Okay. All right.
I think the kitchen downstairs at the lab would be a great.
That's a nice place, but it's lab. Things are happening there.
Yeah, sometimes have events. Yeah. But at home, I don't know. I have Starlink. So it should work probably.
Okay.
You have Starlink?
Starlink.
Starlink. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I just got fiber, so if we need me to be the central hub,
we are there just temporarily. Otherwise, I would like to have something different, but it's A-okay
in the farm.
Yeah,
we can do it in the farm, but we need AC pointing at us, and we need the NVIDIA or AI. Okay, so do we have some questions?
Window to the farm, like you could have the farm in the background that like looking through. Yeah, I couldn't remember,
but we can do it when there's the AFS being set up at Chernobyl.
The AFS room is so cool. That will look excellent. Wow. Yeah.
All right, so before we get way too far off track, So we have a little contest that we run for every show, asking you guys to show us what you're printing throughout the month. So to enter, all you have to do is take a picture of your print on the print bed. Some of you have been missing the have your printer in the print recently on some submissions, so I want to remind that one. Send a print on the print bed and send us a picture, hashtag PruceAlive on Twitter, and you have a chance to win some filament. So who do we have?
Third place goes to Mike for the really, I have to say, adorable flexi T-Rex.
Yes.
Just cute.
It's a very fun model.
Yes, it looks really funny.
Yeah.
So that's just
and it looks great. It looks great in that filament because you know, it's kind of goofy and silly and different.
Yeah. It's one of those dual extrusion, I think.
Right. Yeah.
Coil extrusion. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's our third place. Moving on to second place. Second place is by First Layer. And it's Lord of the Nazgul. So let's see. I have not seen Lord of the Rings in forever, so I guess I will have to.
Love how the stone on the base of this turned out. Like, it just looks so good. That's that magnetic iron oxidized, I think.
Copperfill.
It's the copperfill.
Copperfill and it is the magnet, both yes. Oxidized and magnetic. Oh yeah, so the copperfill is the oxidized
right.
The base. Oh, green. Right.
Yes. They just look so good.
That's cool. Cool filament selection.
Yeah.
We can do a watch party. How long is the whole trilogy? Like 12 hours? Like
8 hours.
Yeah, and we need to do the director Scott.
Uh-huh.
So yeah.
Yeah. I mean, before I move out of this place, we should do it.
Yeah.
It's a nice setup.
I haven't seen it for so yeah. And the first place goes to Bruno. And wow, yeah, just I don't even know if the print is it's pretty clean, but it doesn't like it looks so cool. That's such a cool stand for dice,
right?
It's like, yes. Right, this one is printed, but this one is real,
yeah, totally. So, if you have your like your favorite lucky die, like it's a perfect spot to put your d20,
so nice.
I need to get more into board games.
Rats. War games, yeah.
Yeah, that's more Dungeons and Dragons, more role playing.
Yeah, but are there some that which are like quicker?
yeah, this is a typical like let's try this game and like 12 hours later, like okay, so do we start now?
Do we know 12 hours of character to character.
Yeah.
It's now time to start. Yeah.
So congrats to Obermann, and I guess now we have some space for Kiede. We are going over, but we started later, so
I don't mind.
Yeah.
I don't mind.
So we said something in the beginning, but I guess let's just quickly go over the things for people who joined late. Excel update, there's a separate video. I guess just go watch that to learn all about the Excel, all the latest developments. Prusa Slicer 2.6. Alpha is coming out soon, maybe as soon as Friday, maybe a little bit later this week, but really, we hope it will be soon.
Yeah.
Firmware for the Mark III, if you have Revo, please go through the calibration of the thermal model and send us the log. Everything is described in the release notes.
And if it complains at you, don't revert.
Yeah. Are we planning to move to new HQ? I heard the original plans were. Yeah, I mean, eventually, yes, but.
Yeah, I mean, this place is going to get demolished in some time.
Yeah.
You know. But we have a plan in the making.
Yeah. I miss the Revo bit and the firmware. Yeah, so if you have the Revo and the new firmware, will complain about the thermal model because the Revo has a ceramic heater and it's just a bit weird. So we are trying to teach the thermal model how it behaves, but we need more data for that.
Ceramic heater.
Yeah. Is it possible to get tours of our company still? Yeah, yeah, it is. Just email to info@prusiafree.com beforehand, and you can book a tour. We stopped them during COVID, but we are doing them again. So
you can see the farm, the alpacas, you know, to walk around. We are quite packed here, so manufacturing is not always possible.
Will there be print sheet? Oh, print sheet naming for the mini in the future. I had trouble understanding. I guess the like menu or
And I also think that this shouldn't be, this isn't the secret. We are going to simplify the sheet naming.
Yep. Yeah, everyone uses name calls it smooth, textured, and satin anyway. So that's basically what it's going to be. Feeding alpacas is best part of the tour. Oh, Wexter knows his stuff. Yeah.
Oh yeah. but drinking at my office is not part of the tour, Wexter. That was special when you were visiting, guys. By the way, Wexter, a cool model which is now featured. Which one was that? No Face. Yeah, I forgot the name.
Yeah.
I love the movie.
Me too. Star of Fantasy, Spirited. They always put it on the big screen in the Cross Club.
Really?
Every year, yeah, alright. The AFS when I visited last year. Yeah, the AFS room is just so cool. I love that room. They have the like big battleship that's, I don't know, 3-4 meters long, and the Saturn rocket, and they always print those in like a day because they just distribute it on all the machines. I call my sheets Joe McLaws and Matt because they are smooth textured.
I don't think I wanted that with Swish. So.
Alright, I'm finishing my antibiotics.
Yeah.
There's a lot going by here.
There's some questions which I'm pretending I don't see because that's just you will learn about things when it's time to learn about things.
But I see a question about the pre-orders. We cannot say anything because we don't know how many people we cannot give you like a time when we will be shipping your order because we don't know how many reservations will get converted into the final orders. I'm thinking personally from what I've spoken to people that it will be over 90%. But still, you know, when people pay and how it goes. Yeah. So that is why we decided to do the like batches.
Yeah.
Where we send it out, we process the orders. And we also don't want to hold, a lot of people money for a long time. So that is why we are doing this.
Worth noting that the time of the reservation is what matters, not when you decide to finish it and pay. So, you know, when your spot in the queue is when you originally reserved the XL. So if you pay late or like, you know, you let the pre-order lay for a bit, you will just jump back in the queue.
Yeah, when you get the email, you don't have to pay it in like half an hour or something.
Yeah. It's fine.
But obviously, if there will be some funny stuff happening with the orders, we will not be happy with this.
Yeah.
Okay. I think that's probably, unless there's something else in there, but we're getting a lot of the same kind of things.
Any reviews of the XL soon? We always do it this way. We ship to people who ordered the thing first because those people are waiting for it and doesn't feel fair to skip them. But after we ship some, maybe we also ship some.
But you know what we could do? Video stream with the beta testers maybe. We can chat with them and talk about how it's used, and we could take questions from the people about the XL. I'm not sure if it should be a regular stream or maybe I will ask the guys or they can
interesting idea.
yeah All right, guys. Well, thank you all. It's been a great show. We appreciate everyone tuning in. And we will see you again next month. Stay safe and keep printing. Thanks to Ben for coming on, and thanks you all. Thank you all for being here.
Bye, everyone. Thanks for joining us.